Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Daily Devotion number 20. It's week 5 of isolation. And I feel like maybe I need one of these little journals where I can be like, week 5, day 23. Children are still alive. Logan still hasn't shaved his beard off. I don't know. But it's like, it just keeps going on. It's been extended another week or two or something. So I guess the good news is we get to carry on doing our daily devotions, carry on getting together and opening up the Word. Very warm welcome to you. If it's the first time that you've checked in here, we hail from New Zealand, the mightiest country in the world. Really south. What, really south? Gloriously green, filled with beautiful accents. And we come from Covenant Presbyterian Church. So it's great to be together. And it's great to be able to open up the Word together. At least I got one laugh from Bill, even if no one else laughed, I don't mind. I enjoy my own humor, even if nobody else does, so that's all right. But we're opening up the book of James today. We're going to be turning to James chapter 3 again. If you're a visitor here, we're working our way through the book of James for a while now. We find ourselves finishing off the last section in James chapter 3. So if you want to open up your Bibles, we'll give thanks to God and then we'll turn to His Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for another week that we got to go and worship you on Sunday, whether it was in our lounges or in our studies, that we got to hear your word and to lift up our voices in praise to you. And Lord, as we work our way through another week, we pray that you would help us at times like this just to recenter our hearts and minds upon you in your word, and that you would speak to us, giving birth to more life in our hearts, that we might know you more clearly and love you more dearly. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles there, we'll read from James. For some reason I forgot to change the reference up the top there, but James chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 13 through to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So far, the reading of God's word. May he bless it to us. Well, we're thinking about wisdom today. And I wonder, when you think of wisdom, or when you think of a wise person, what do you picture? When you think of a wise person, I wonder, especially, do you think of, you know, maybe a philosopher sitting in a room quietly by himself, pondering life, writing things, reading books? Maybe you think of the Greek and Roman world with all of their so-called wise men. Maybe you think of King Solomon. There's a lot of different imagery that pops into our mind when we think of these words, don't we? Wisdom, wise. We think of things like proverbs and other things. And depending on our experience, depending upon our upbringing, that's going to look very different. But I wonder if often our wisdom, or our understanding of wisdom, better put, is misguided, because it's not shaped by the Word of God. You see, very often we allow our understanding of concepts to be formed merely by the things around us, merely by worldly opinions, or merely by our cultural upbringing or our family upbringing, and therefore we don't really have a biblical view of a concept or a topic, but rather we have a concept that comes from other places. And what James wants to do is Show us what true wisdom looks like. What does biblical true wisdom look like? And the interesting thing he does, I'm not sure if you picked up on this when we read it, but he actually shows two different types of wisdom. They're both called wisdom, but they're two different types of wisdom. And I've termed them the wisdom from above and the wisdom from below, which is the type of wording James uses. And I thought, to help us understand what real wisdom is, we'd look at these two things, wisdom from above and wisdom from below. And we'll start by thinking about what does wisdom from below look like? Of course, when he's speaking about wisdom from below, he's thinking earthly wisdom. He's contrasting man-centered earthly wisdom versus God-centered godly wisdom. And just for the sake of the chat, my father-in-law said a beard is wisdom, so nailed it. Not really, not me anyway, but it's a good point. Beards are impressive. We love beards here at Covenant. Well, at least I do, even if nobody else does. But anyway, back on topic. So wisdom from below, what's it look like? What do we see? Have a look at verse 14 with me. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. So the first part of a worldly wisdom is it's arrogant. It's filled with boasting. And as I said, it's man-centered. It's about me. The end of wisdom is puffing me up. The goal of wisdom is making me look impressive, is ensuring that everybody else sees how wise I am. Everybody else comments. And so you pick and choose very carefully what you say and how you say it. You're motivated by bitter jealousy. So it's not about building people up, but it's about self-promotion. It's not about love, but it's about me winning. And it's not about seeking the truth. It's willing to sacrifice the truth for the sake of self. So it's very self-centered, very man-centered, very self-honoring. And it doesn't care about anything else as much as self. But notice also, it's not just arrogant, but it's unbelievably devilish, James says. Verse 15. This is not the wisdom that comes from above. This wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So this wisdom, this wrong wisdom, is a wisdom that comes from the devil, in other words. It's not a wisdom that's found in the image of God. It's not a wisdom that comes from God, but it's a wisdom that comes from the father of lies. And of course we know that, don't we? Because if we think about the devil, he's incredibly self-involved. He's unbelievably self-focused. His one desire, overarching desire, is that he would be worshipped and not God. And so all of his wisdom, all of his understanding is pointed in that direction. And so, of course, any wisdom from this earth, any evil wisdom, will follow after that same trend, will follow after that same bend, will seek to honor self. And so we have to beware when we hear the so-called wise words of this world. What voice are we hearing? Are we hearing the voice of the father of lies and the wisdom that comes from below, or are we hearing the wisdom from above? We must be very careful, because as the writer in Ecclesiastes says, I went to the house of God, and even there I found folly. We must be very careful lest we hear a wrong a wrong wisdom. But not just as this arrogant and devilish, it's also vile. It's vile. Have a look at verse 16. Where jealousy and strife and ambition exist, which is what we've just been thinking about, looking at this wisdom that's unbelievably self-centered and self-focused and man-honoring and man-worshipping, this wisdom which comes from the devil, this wisdom, where this abounds, there will be disorder and every vile practice. You see, the result of an ungodly wisdom is that it leads to sin. That's James's point. The wisdom of this world leads to sin. And so it was very common in different eras for the wise sages to take part in horrendous acts, to take part in orgies and drunken feasts. And inevitably, if you think about it logically, inevitably a man-centered wisdom will lead to sin, won't it? Because it will lead to man-centered worship and not the worship of God. And anything that is not the worship of God is the worship of idolatry, and it's sin. And haven't we seen this in different periods of history? When the more God is thrown out of the world, the more God is denied in the secular states and in the secular schools, the more these places get led into sin. And so you think about right now, what is the worldly wisdom which is being promoted in our countries? Well, it's okay to murder children when they're not born. Well, it's okay to murder old people if you don't need them or if they don't want to be around anymore. Well, it's okay. You can be a boy or a girl. You just pick and we'll do a surgery and magically fix it. And we won't address your mental problems and your emotional trauma and all the things that are stirring up these feelings. We won't deal with your psychological problems. We'll just give you a surgery. See, this is man-centered wisdom, isn't it? And it leads to man-centered worship and to more sin. And so, you know, the whole slippery slope argument thing applies to this. They said, well, in cases of rape, abortion is great. And that quickly became, well, what about people with a sick child? And that quickly became, what about people, you know, 3 months? And very quickly, we're finding ourselves into a situation when women will be able to get an abortion with really no substantial reason why at 8 months pregnant. This is the outworking of worldly wisdom. And the people who espouse this say that they are the wise ones. They are the clever ones. They are the enlightened ones. And us Christians, we're bigots and fools. We've got no idea. We're the biggest fools around. Well, James says otherwise, doesn't he? He says there's this wisdom from below, which leads towards sin, death, and destruction. But there's a wisdom from above, isn't there? There's a wisdom from above, and firstly, it's seen in meekness. Have a look at 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. True wisdom is meek. Not oppressive. It's not controlling. It's not self-centered. It's not selfish. But it honors the other. If you've experienced this being around what you would say is a true wise person, they're unbelievably humble, aren't they? If you think of the most wise person you can think of in your life, and I would be willing to bet, I'm not a betting man, but I'd be willing to bet that they're also incredibly humble. And it seems like it doesn't matter what you do, they just always appear as humble. They think very, very low of themselves. And they seek to honor you, you know, and you go to them for wisdom, and you walk out just feeling really encouraged and built up, and you're like, man, it's just every time. It's a sign of true wisdom is humility and meekness, a lowliness. And it's because the truly wise person recognizes that the wisdom isn't theirs, but it's something that comes from above. It's something from God. But notice also that just like the wisdom from below was devilish, you remember the firstly the wisdom from below was arrogant, and we've seen the wisdom from above is meekness. The wisdom from below was devilish, but the wisdom from above is godly. Have a look at verse 17. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. These are all godly attributes, aren't they? Mercy, good fruits, impartial, sincere, pure, peaceable, gentle. These are the very fruits of God. And so the truly wise person, because wisdom, true wisdom, comes from above, will produce the same fruits as the one who gives that wisdom. And this is really important for us to recognize. Because if a person claims to be wise, and yet you don't see this fruit, you must question whether they're wise. I mean, some of this is just common sense. If you want help on your accounting, you know, you're working through your taxes or whatever, and you need some help, are you going to go to the accountant who just got declared bankrupt? Well, of course not. That would be kind of silly. You're going to go to the accountant who looks after his own books. What's the same here? Are you going to go to the wise man who doesn't live like a wise man? Or the wise woman who doesn't live like a wise woman? I know I keep saying man, but wise men, wise woman doesn't make much of a difference. Of course not. You're going to go to the wise woman who lives a godly life, because it's clear that the wisdom of God is present in her life, because you can see it in the fruits. It's the same logic, isn't it, that James used for faith? He said, you got faith? Show me through your works. And now he's saying, you've got wisdom? Show me through your godliness. And so this wisdom from below was arrogant, devilish, and vile. And the same is true from the wisdom above, from the opposite. It was meek, godly, and righteous. That's what he says in 18. A harvest of righteousness. This wisdom will lead to a harvest of righteousness. You see, the ultimate outcome of the wisdom from below was man and self-worship. But the ultimate wisdom of God is God-centered, God-honoring, God-glorifying worship. That's righteousness, isn't it? A removal from self to a worship of God. See, that's why God gives wisdom. He gives us wisdom so that we would see this world for it, where what it really is, and we would worship Him. And this I think raises two major points for us, just for application. Firstly, if you claim to be wise, maybe you're watching in here and you're critiquing what I'm saying, and you're combing through your Bible, and you're sitting, you know, with a what I would call a critical stance. Not saying being critical is wrong, but you've got a critical stance in your mind right now, and you're claiming to be wise. Well, do your actions show your wisdom? That's what James would ask you. Do you claim to be wise? Well, are you meek? Are you godly? Are you righteous? Because that's where God's wisdom leads. And maybe you don't consider yourself to be a wise person, but you're seeking wise people. You need help with something. You know, you need the advice from people. Well, then what sort of a counselor do you look for? What sort of a wise person do you look for? Do you look for the sort of person the world would say is wise? You know, so instantly you think to yourself, someone with money, someone successful, because they're the real wise ones. Well, that's what the world says, correct? Go to the actor, go to the successful banker, go to the person that runs a business, go to all these people that the world say are successful. They're wise because they've done well in their life. Well, God's standards are very different, aren't they? And so we should look for the meek person. Look for the godly person. Look for the righteous person and seek their wisdom. Sometimes, actually all the time, you'll find wisdom in places you never expected to find it. This has been my story. I cannot tell you how many times I have sat with a person drinking a cup of coffee who the world would consider to be foolish. And they're unbelievably wise. And I come there to visit with them, to care for them, and I walk out being unbelievably blessed and encouraged and built up because they have the wisdom of God. And you know, this is exactly what Paul was talking about. You see, Paul in 1 Corinthians 18, if you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 18. I just want to read this for you. It's what I call the great reversal that we see in the kingdom of God and in the mind of God. So 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. This is the way of God. And we're so drawn to worldly wisdom, wisdom from below, strength from below, aren't we? We're so tempted to head down that route because it's right in front of us and the whole world's telling us it's right. It's like Mr. Worldly Wise Man who leads Christian towards despair and legalism. But the wisdom that comes from above leads us to Christ. So let me encourage you, seek real wisdom, seek biblical wisdom, seek true wisdom that comes from above, from your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together. Thank you for the wisdom that comes from above. Lord, James told us to look for it in chapter 1, and he shows us what it looks like. We pray that we would all grow in wisdom and understanding, and that when we need help, we would find godly wisdom carriers, wise men and women that would counsel us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for getting together with us again. It's been a joy to open up the Word together for another afternoon, and I pray that you would have a blessed afternoon, that you'd enjoy the rest of your day, and otherwise we'll look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow at 3:30 New Zealand Standard Time for devotion number 21. We'll see how many we get to before we all get to go back to whatever normality will be like after this. Well, God bless. Have a great day. The work you've begun in us.